I'm a mess tonight. I'm a mess. I forgot to do the cue the music thing. Because this, Jared, this season, we've been like leading in.
That's okay.
And I didn't do it this time. So, you know, oh well. You know,
It's all good.
So, welcome to Restitching the Tapestry, everybody. We are on episode 128. And this year, we've not had a poetry night yet. What is wrong with us? And tonight, we're finally doing a poetry night, which we're super duper excited about. So, how have we been and what have we been up to? Jared, since you're our guest, do you want to go first?
Sure. It's been a really interesting past few months. I guess the appropriate place to start would be Lost in America, my new collection of poetry. My first all collection of poetry was released on August 7th. I have been enjoying promoting the album, A Slice of American Pie, that put together with Brotherwell. That's been going well. That was a fun project. And I'm teaching my first creative writing class at the college level starting next month. No, this month, at the end of this month. So that's also exciting. So just lots of crazy stuff. And that's not even talking about family things. It's great and all that stuff. So all is good.
Congratulations on all fronts. Like, that's super exciting.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
So, Ari, how have you been? What have you been up to?
I saw my movie ad in the theater today and I got so excited. My sister and I went to go see the Barbie movie.
Oh, do you want to?
Yay!
Do you want to fill Jared in on the context surrounding that?
So I have been, for the past like couple months, I've been putting together a movie ad to advertise my vlog channel, my Strange Nothings, because I deleted my vlog channel, but then I like started up again and I was doing like art videos. And so I was like, you know, it'd be a crazy idea if I like put together an ad and like advertised my channel. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, could I do that? Like, could I have something? Like, I was like, so I called up this person and I was like, can I do an ad? And they were like, yeah, do you want to? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, cool. So I did. I put together a whole ad for it. And like, I have there are two simultaneous ads. So like one week I'll have one ad playing and then another week, like the alternate ad will run. And so I saw the alternate ad this week. And I was like, yeah, this is great. So I saw the Barbie movie with my sister and we saw the ad. I'm also working on a script right now for my class. It's called The Worm That Ate Me. That's like what I'm working on right now. Ooh. And then I'm working on some paintings because I have some paintings that have been, because the shop owner, I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook, but I've been selling art in the shop and she was promoting me right now. And so I was like trying to sell some of that. And I'm trying to finally get my latest book because I'm reading from my latest poetry book. I'm trying to get that finally edited, so lots of stuff happening with me right now.
That's awesome. That is so exciting. Good for you. I love it.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to hear some of your new work from your new collection. That's going to be awesome. And likewise, you as well, Jared. I'm excited to hear work from your latest collection.
I know.
I'm not working on anything right now.
Oh. That's because you already just released a work, though. You released Casting Seeds.
Yeah, I did release Casting Seeds in late 2022. I've been kind of creatively taking a break for 2023, mostly because I've been kind of in need of recharge. Although when the October Poem Challenge starts up again, I'm going to be throwing myself into the, you know, kiln of poetry. It's a horrible image, but I'm going with it. But Beyond that, I've just been I've been working on prepping for the semester because my fall is looking like it's going to be busy too. But I've also been doing a lot of gardening, which I've been mentioning almost every episode. I've been really, really enjoying that home ownership. That's had its ups and downs recently. We had water in our basement again yesterday, so yay for that. But you know.
Well, I know. We had it this spring, so it was, I know how awful that can be.
Oh, and we have a mouse in the house, too. Like,
oh.
So our cats have been freaking out lately, and I saw something scuttle across the floor when I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night the other night, and I was just like, oh, hell no. Like, absolutely not.
Isn't that why you have cats, is to catch mice?
And well, so they did catch a mouse probably like a month ago, but clearly there's another one. And I'm just like, what is happening right now? First it was the chipmunks. Then it was the earwigs. Then it was the yellow jackets. I got stung by a bee. Oh. And I feel like all the rodentia and the insectozoids are like F Donnie right now. So not to be dramatic. Aww.
Well, hopefully things turn around as far as that stuff goes soon. Right.
The ironic thing is I literally just complained about nature for like 5 minutes and I'm going to be reading most of my poems about nature. So we'll unpack that later. So, do we want to do our mission statement? I think it's my turn this week.
It is your turn.
We live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater opportunities for connection. It has led to a developing understanding of those who lies and the powers causing the adversity, causing the marginalizations, and the bystanders. Well, the people who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate, and create in a world that's growing. Let's hope I do better on my poems than I just did on that. So, ooh. So, I figured we would all do like little rounds, kind of like we did last time, right? So, like, we'll maybe introduce a poem and then like perform it and then discuss it afterward. Knowing us, like, I was kind of, I don't know, I'm feeling ambitious with like 4 to 5 poems potentially. However, the way we like to discuss and talk, like, we'll see if we get to 4 to 5 poems. I don't know. And P.S. everyone, I apologize if my internet issues get in the way tonight. My internet has been terrible. So, all right. Jared, would you like to start us off this evening? Uh-oh, did Jared freeze?
Did Jared freeze?
I thought it was me having the internet issue. Oh no, Jared froze.
It's okay.
I'll keep my messenger open if he comes back. So Ari, would you like to start us off?
Oh goodness. Okay.
No pressure.
Sure, I can go first. All right, so the first poem that I have is called Swan Dive. The swans are still in the pond. Where did all the others go? I will stay until my flesh gives out. Full Akira, the universe is swallowing me whole. A whore adventure of exploding like a bomb. Hello, I said, expecting a return. I wonder, will this be all the brutal? Am I good enough? Don't let the worst feelings hold me back. Have a steady, healthy mindset.
So, okay, my interpretation could be completely wrong, but to me, it very much seemed like a mental health poem. I interpreted it as like that first dipping of a toe into the pool of understanding when it comes to mental health and how it like almost feels like a universe exploding into something new. That really was really powerful. Like, what, like, want to talk a little bit about your context for it?
So all of these poems were written at the beach. All of these poems were written at the beach or by the beach or with the beach in mind. A lot of these contexts of the poems are what I saw out while at the beach. And so it's where the mindset is about being at the beach. A lot of the imagery has to do with the visuals of being in this mindset. A lot of the poems talk about my mindset as far as what I'm dealing with Jared's in the room.
Jared, do we have you back?
I am back. I am on my cell phone, so
perfect.
I'm not gonna deal with this Chromebook right now.
I honestly don't believe.
Or my internet provider. So
I could rant until the end of time about internet. I understand. Anyway, go on, Ari.
But the mindset that I was going through writing all of the poems that I'm going to talk about tonight, they deal with dealing with the delusions that I'm going through, that I am in love with somebody who does not know I exist. So it's sort of like having to work through all of this existentialism of dealing with the fact that I'm in love with somebody who does not know about me at all. So I go to the beach every day looking for this person who does not know I exist, who does not know that I have all of these little rituals of me going through these experiences. And so most of these poems talk about the healing process of feeling alone and loving somebody who does not know or understand me, like who does not, who's, it's sort of like this ghost feeling of loving someone. So
that's so kind of interesting.
Of the context of all of this.
Thank you. I mean, that poem was stunning. Thinking of it as like a whole body of work, like kind of building off from that theme or set of themes, like that sounds really interesting to me. So we have a commenter. Rogue Agent is here. Want to hear a joke only if it's recited as a poem.
It says, "My faith in humanity, how is everyone else doing?" That's the joke, my faith in humanity.
I get it. Sorry, I'm...
Oh, goodness.
I'm out of it today, so... Very good. Now you should write a poem about it, Rogue. Do it. Jared, would you like to go next?
Sure.
So
these are all I'm going to read. Every poem I'm going to read is from Lost in America. And I'm going to try to limit it to poems I have not read in public. Not just like live, but even like for a video or anything like that. So if I mess up, this is the first time. Don't practice.
You were in a safe space.
Yes, I am. And I'm thankful for that. We were talking a little bit about academics earlier. And as I was finishing up the book, one of the final things that came to my mind that I wanted to work with was ChatGPT. And because I figured there can't be that many poems about ChatGPT yet. So I thought, what the heck, let's give it a shot. So I did a little experiment with this. I actually typed into ChatGPT I asked it to write a poem about me. And I looked at it, and it was very interesting. And so this poem is a response to ChatGPT's poem about me. So that's nice. That's where this thing comes from.
So it's kind of an ekphrastic poem.
Yeah. All right. So this poem is called ChatGPT Wrote a Poem About Me. It referred to me as a poet, an eternal flame of creativity, with a soul both fierce and fine, one with the mastery of metaphors and subtle rhymes, who writes verses that dance like butterflies. Apparently, it hasn't read my books, because my stanzas sting like bees, and the barbs stick in your skin, or sometimes they melt frozen hearts that have forgotten what it's like to feel human or even alive. But I am no expert on creativity, poetic form, implementing imagery, keeping time and meter, and I sure as hell can't rhyme. All I can do is tell the truth. Sometimes it heals, sometimes it hurts, but it makes for better poetry than just lines of pretty words. It identified me as a dreamer, and I suppose that's true, but it either couldn't or it refused to expand upon what they're about or why they're important to me, or how sometimes those hopes for a better tomorrow get beat up and bruised by those who rely on prejudice and brute force, on TV screens or behind the scenes, abusing the innocent and manipulating the naive. It's hard to stay asleep when you know the enemy is lurking, has a gun in his pocket, an itchy trigger finger, and is ready to unload on anyone who isn't satisfied to just toe the line, anyone who dares to dream. And the craziest thing of all is that it called me a poet of fame, said that my name is renowned, that I am one who casts light on shadows, illuminates the world's darkest corners, and helps to ignite hope amongst the people who need it most. Certainly, this would be wonderful if only it were true, but ChatGPT has read more of my words than the number of people who know my name, my work, my cares, or my dreams. That's the reality. My poetry can't save anyone or anything if no one is listening.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's interesting though.
You know,
because I don't necessarily disagree with ChatGPT.
So like it's
I think that
well, I was just going to say, I think ChatGPT has created some very interesting philosophical, like, examinations of, like, the human condition. Anyway, Ari, what were you going to say? I feel like I cut you off. I apologize.
But it's, no, go ahead. It's interesting. You're right. It does create some philosophical differences, but you get so, you're so down on yourself about it. It's just like, that you think that you haven't brought hope or anything, but I guess it is a drawback that you feel like it's not personal to you or that you are kind of like a contrarian to it. But I think that there should be some kind of ownership to things, even though you think that your work is dark and that it has this not hopeful look of the world. I think that when you look at the world in a more realistic view, I think that when you have these moments where there is something that shines through something, through the hopelessness, I think that sometimes it does shine through the misery and the pain, and that sometimes it does. I think it did gloss over some of that, and it tries to shine with pretty words about things and try to make try to assuage your feelings and, oh, don't you have all this really pretty stuff? Maybe it's just trying to like beautify the world and, you know, the way in which, you know, slice of American pie does and and we often do in this world is that we try to, you know, beautify things and gloss over things in these shiny, happy moments. It's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, so for me, like ChatGPT is very much, well, like your poem to me, like served as like an examination of like the human condition and does ChatGPT possess like the capability to understand and comprehend like our ability to dream and use an imagination, right? And I think that looking at what defines being human is interesting. And I think that's something that poets have done for, you know, a long, long time, right? And I think that the creation of ChatGPT has kind of brought that conversation back to the forefront, right? Like, how far do we let it go, right? What do we do with it? Is it just a tool that we use, etc.? Like, I think there could be so many directions to go in with that, so... Do you have your thoughts about like the inspiration?
Sure, Ari. Yeah. Did you have something? And then I can share too.
Well, I was just going to say, I'll say something after you say something.
Okay. All right. So here's what's interesting. I did not intend for that piece to be a downer, even though it kind of ended up as a downer. Usually, I write with an idea in mind, like a theme in mind. I really didn't have that here. One thing, as I was getting ready to do this little creative experiment with this poem, you know, it had been around for a few months by the time I got around to this, and I had already caught a couple of kids in my class who I'm pretty darn sure was using this software, and something that I've become... And I don't know, like, I suppose that if you fine tune like your searches or like your commands for it, it might get more specific. But what I found with ChatGPT is that it just scratches the surface. Like, it doesn't go into detail. Like, it only has like that bare minimum knowledge of what it's gathering. And it doesn't really do a whole lot, whether it's essays or anything else, that really giving specifics. And in this book, a lot of this book is about identity anyway. And so I thought, well, I wonder how well it knows someone who is not particularly famous in any way. Let's just see what it says. What kind of BS is it going to come up with? And it lists some things, which, like you said, Ari, I suppose some of these things, I hope that they're true. But at the same time, I felt like all of these things, and I did riff a lot on that poem. Like, there are images from that poem, the ChatGPT poem, that made it in here so I could talk about it. But I felt like, just like with essays, like it doesn't go deeper. Like it knew me to an extent, but it didn't really know like all of the complexity. Like, and it goes back to just the AI versus human. Like, AI can do a whole lot of things, but it can't be us. And I didn't feel like it know me or my concerns or all these things. And, I didn't mean for the dark turn at the end. It just was like, yeah, like you're saying a lot of things, but just like a student in class writing an essay on a story they didn't read, AI didn't know that story. It just knew what other people had said about it, and it's only seeing certain things that it can find about me, but it didn't really know who I am. And then I compared that at the end to, well, there are a lot of people who don't know what I am. I personally don't have a problem with that. But I just thought it was a fun exercise in creativity more than anything else.
Well, and so, I mean, you know me, inner goth kid here, love a dark poem. But no, like, it really, I don't know if for me it was dark necessarily, but I really interpreted it as looking at like the vastness of the universe and how like can ChatGPT successfully capture the essence of who we are in this vastness, right? And like, and that vastness, like there are literal phobias of that vastness of the universe and like our small little flicker of existence in it, right? And I thought, like, to me, that's how that poem kind of came off, and I think that it did what it needed to do for sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that's a lot of what I was when it was all said and done, like, I felt like that's what it was, mm-hmm. the poem was trying to do. So I'm glad that that, that caught on.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Ready for a tree hugger poem?
My final thought about it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one last thing. I actually wrote a whole poetry book using ChatGPT, feeding prompts into it. And so that was like the last thing I wanted to say about it, was that I had actually written a whole book, Tracks of a Digital Heartbeat. So I thought that was interesting that you had done that too.
That's awesome.
Have you released that? Have you released that yet? Or are you going to in the future?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
How have I not read that yet? I need to add that to my list.
Right. I feel the same way.
I'm writing a print edition of it, but yeah, I had actually released that. So it's actually really interesting. It does kind of scratch the surface, but some of the poems actually really surprised me that came out of ChatGPT.
What was the title of it?
Tracks of a Digital Heartbeat. It focuses on childhood and what it means to be alive.
I remember you mentioning it, but I don't remember you publishing it yet, but I'm going to definitely go check it out because I am looking forward to that. All right. Yeah. The tree hugger has entered the chat. It's still digital. Are we ready? Okay, so this, I felt that it was fitting to begin with a poem from Carbon Footprint. And similar, Jared, like I'm trying to do poems, well, from at least this time for this book, I'm reading a poem that I've never performed, I don't think, before. It's a short piece. It's called Geoglyphs. And it's I've been very angry about the climate and our inability to take action or do anything. So this poem is definitely about that. It hurts to settle when the current is so strong. The dredger has come. Inner silica slips through hinged jaws like wind until it dissolves in microscopic swaths across the riverbed. Weathered lines define what's inside as the machine tears deep down for what Earth still hides. And that's it.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that poem a lot too. It's been a while since I read it. I really like it.
Thank you.
Just your use of imagery is so fascinating. And it just feels like most of your work, it's not as evident in the early work, but as I've seen it, like the progression as how you've gone like into your later work, it always feels very confessional, like you're always like telling a secret when you, and like I've seen it progress, like as you've written it and like Casting Seeds, just the way that you write your poetry, especially like the environmental poetry, you always relate it to your life somehow, and it always feels like you're telling a secret of some kind, that you're revealing some kind of major life event in revealing these images.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. That's really my intent too. Like, so I like the poem, I wrote it because I literally was at a river and I saw somebody like dredging in a river, and I was just like, that doesn't seem very nice to the environment. Like, and obviously, like I often have like a mental health angle, and I was just thinking about like how like when we are in therapy, we're like dredging things up. When we're like doing a lot of self-examination, like we're dredging things up that don't always feel good, you know? So thank you. Like that's often my goal with my pieces. I just try to like kind of weave two things together. So
I'm really glad that you brought that up. Because I wasn't thinking about the poem psychologically, but I see those connections. I like those connections a lot. And I just personally think it's awesome that you are, and I can see that. I think Ari's right, that you really are exploring, even, I mean, you did that with Carbon Footprint too, but like exploring even if it's not directly about you, you're exploring issues in a way that is tied to, I like Ari's word secrets, because that implies like honesty and vulnerability even sometimes. And I really like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I think we'd all be in better shape if we let our vulnerability show and just let, we could be honest. No, I was pretty much involved with the environmental aspect of it exclusively as you read it. I like, and it's really good. I like the combination of the human stuff, the pollution, the silicone, and then the natural imagery there together. And it just felt like it's just being forced, right? Like it's almost like violence. And just like we do with the environment, sadly, is like we just enforce our will and our greed and everything else upon it. And we're destroying ourselves. It's the last thing I'll say. But it just reminds me, like every time I hear someone say, well, we can't spend money on people. We can't give money to people. We can't cut taxes for the poor, the middle class. We can't do these things because how are we going to be responsible for our grandkids' generation? We can't just blow all the money. I'm like, well, why is that going to matter if we don't have a planet for the grandkids to live? Don't even feed me that line, right? Because if we don't have a planet to live, it's not going to matter how broke we are.
Exactly.
So true.
No, it's a wonderful poem, Donnie. Wonderful poem.
Thank you. Ari, you're up. We're on round two.
Oh my God, is it my turn? Oh my God, do I have to start the round? Okay. All right, which one do I want to read? All right. Oh God, why did I pick these ones? These are so, oh God, they're so vulnerable. Okay. Okay, here we go. This one's called Anticipation. Tear off your clothes and leave them on the floor. Your flesh touches mine and I can't even deal. I want you so bad. I ache in all the places for you, like a throbbing body that vibrates like a string. It's all for you, baby. I love the way you touch and the way you don't. I can feel when you're gone and when you stay, the anticipation of you, my God. Oh God, how can I lost my mind? It's stuck onto the carpet and my body is floating among the stars.
Ooh. I'm really obsessed with the way you perform poems. Like, I'm really obsessed with it because, like, you have a way of, like with pauses and emphasizing specific words and lines, like, really drawing the audience in. Like, I felt like I was experiencing something intimate by just listening to that poem.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's so naughty.
Ooh.
But I think it's really smart, too. The line that really jumped out at me was, I love it the way you, when you touch and when you don't. That line, I think, really leads us into this interesting poem here about this relationship. Is this also, Ari, because I know that I got kicked out for a little bit and got disconnected. Is
so
this
the related whole, to the whole what, emphasis,
yeah.
This is all about my delusion with somebody who I'm in love with who has no idea who I exist.
Right. Okay, so I caught that part. And that makes sense, right? Because like, and then when you don't suggest that, like still loving this person, even if they're not within physical proximity without physical touch. And which really makes me love the ending a lot when you have like your body is like floating in the stars, like there's no gravity, there's no grounding, there's no physical touch. You're just kind of lost in space. And it's just kind of like, it's dark, right? Like, cause part of it is like, oh, it's the heavens. It's this beautiful, idealistic, romantic kind of thing. But no, it's dark, and there's no touch. There's no feeling. There's no sound. There's no humanity. And And I really like that. I really like the way you ended it for that reason, as it ties to the rest of the poem.
Right. Now, so one thing that really, I mean, building off what Jared just said, like, I agree 100%. And I think that you successfully captured, like, to me, like, there was, like, a certain isolation about the poem, too. Like, kind of like that longing, right? Like, that fantasy that's created. There's, like, very much a deep root of longing in it. And, of course, like, knowing what you've experienced and the different things that you've overcome over the past few years, like, I really feel like this poem took what once felt like something that you couldn't control and turned it into something malleable that you can, if that makes sense, right? Like, if the delusion becomes so big, like, at least you can write about it and be like, okay, here it is in the span of this page, in these lines, I have ownership over it. I have power over it, right? Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Ooh. Love it, love it.
Do you want to share any final thoughts about the poem, Ari? Like, do you want to talk about, like, some of the context behind it?
So part of the delusion, too, is that... sometimes I can feel like I can sense, like, having him, like, around me, like, it's not that I have, like, hallucinations. It's just like, it's sort of like having a ghost around, because I live in this apartment by myself. I'm mostly by myself all day long. So, like, I'll have, like, it's mostly just living in a fantasy where I have, like, fake conversations with this person, and sometimes I feel them, like, hugging me or, like, you know, touching me, but, like, they're not touching me. It's so strange to have that feeling. It's hard to explain. It's not a hallucination, because I know that they're not touching me. It's just that I can sense. It's very hard to explain. It's mostly just that I'm alone and longing, because I've been alone for so long now.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense to me. That makes sense. It's a stunning poem. So, like, and this is from that same collection, right?
And it's just that I've been putting this on paper because I just needed to get it out of my head and just try to articulate some of this loneliness, that this deep sense of terrible longing and loneliness that I've been feeling. I mean, have you ever felt so lonely that it started to manifest in physical ways?
I think when I was in college, I felt that way sometimes. Yeah. And it almost felt like I was losing myself in it, you know, like it became bigger than me in a way, right? In fact, a couple of the poems in Carbon Footprint kind of harken back to that kind of, there's a poem that I've never read before, I don't think. It's called I Left My Ghost in Kansas City. And that piece is very much, I would say, like, connected to that type of a feeling. Yeah. Stunning piece, Ari. Wonderful work. Wonderful. So, Jerry, before you go next, I want to look at the comments really quick, because I have been, like, neglecting the comments terribly. Rogue Agent says, I write short stories, but not poems. I used to, and they were horror-related. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Arby was here and says, I'll be missing this one, but I'll watch the playback. Hope that you're having... I just got back from a trip. Oh, I'm sorry that the flight was a nightmare. And Rogue was responding to your poem. Ari, excellent.
Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that.
Okay, so I'm going to go back on what I said earlier. I actually have read this one for a video, but I decided I want to read this one. I still have not read it in front of an audience.
Oh, good.
It's not listed in the book, obviously, but in my first book, American Fries, the title poem, was, like, one of my first favorites. I kind of call this one American Fries, like, the sequel. even if it's not necessarily about the same topic, but it kind of is. It's called Blue Light Special.
Hmm.
Attention shoppers, we'd like to direct your attention to multiple sales happening right now throughout the store. In clothing, hundreds of styles await you. The same looks all of your friends are sporting. The ones they harassed you for not purchasing weeks ago. Better late than never, am I right? Sure, they'll call you a Johnny come lately, but at least you showed up. We knew you would. In groceries, be sure to stock up on all of the new varieties of Coke, Oreos, frozen pizzas that are better than delivery, hot dogs endorsed by the pro athlete du jour, and don't forget the all-new Kraft Mac and Cheese Cheetos collab. Let's make that stuff even more orange. Just as unhealthy as before, but hey, produce doesn't come in bright, colorful boxes. That good-for-you stuff isn't on sale anyway. It never is. Best to stock up on comfort food, and when you outgrow those jeans, just head on over back to clothing to start spending money on that new wardrobe. And don't forget to visit toys. It's never too early to start your holiday shopping. See the gardening department for our artificial Christmas tree in July sale. This year's hot toys are already available to buy at an insane 5% off. And who doesn't want to snag the new Tickle Me Furby LOL surprise for $95 instead of $100? No one. So hurry up and get yours now. Supplies won't last. We can't guarantee when the next shipment is coming. And you don't want little Timmy crying because Santa's magic couldn't come through for him on Christmas morning, which is only 5 months away. And before you leave, be sure to go over to Sporting Goods. Those trendy new firearms, those same ones promoted by the GOP and NRA, are ready for you to take home today to protect your loved ones. You want to be a patriot. We know you do. Just be careful to keep them separate from those Christmas presents that you bought over in toys. We won't be held liable for anything that happens at home or elsewhere. Thank you, shoppers. We appreciate your business, and we hope you enjoy the products that you purchase from us as much as we've enjoyed purchasing you. Come again soon. We know you will.
Oh my God.
Yay!
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We saved capitalism. Yay!
That, okay, so Blue Light Special, wasn't Kmart the store that would do those?
Yes, yep.
My first job was at Kmart, so like it brought back a lot. it brought back a lot.
They finally tore down the Kmart important. In my hometown.
They did? Oh. Yeah. They took our Kmart and turned it into like a sad-looking hospital.
I think there's but, only like couple left in the United States.
I think so, yeah, if that even. But no, like that was such an important commentary on like capitalism, because I mean at the end of the day, if we like look beyond, you know, the whole system, all it is it's us being used as some sort of resource, right? Like we're reduced to something tangible, no different than the things that we're purchasing, which it kind of is scary, right?
Very. And that's why I was happy that it kind of took that dark turn at the end. Like, it's kind of funny up to the sporting goods portion. Because it is, you know, it's scary. It's really scary.
Ooh. Yeah, like, and I think, well, one thing that I love about the way you perform is, like, I feel like your poems are very much confessional, but also conversational. And you have a way of making it feel like we're sitting across from a table from one another, sipping a cup of coffee and ranting about what's happening. And I think that's one reason I love all of your work, but especially this piece, because I feel like it really, like, it feels like I'm standing in a store listening to this over the intercom, but it also feels like I am, like, at a diner with you.
You know, I'm always down for that.
Me too.
What I love about this poem is that it sort of is just holding up a mirror to the weird and also true reality of America, that America is just, it's just late stage capitalism, and just like the way that we interact with each other and our stores. And some of the stuff that you talk about is also kind of outdated, because you talk about the Kmart. So it has this kind of like old style, but also it still is very relatable, because it's stuff that we still do to this day. It's something that transposes time and all of the things. So you are talking about things that are old, but also still very timeless, in that it doesn't matter what store it is. It doesn't matter if it's Kmart or Walmart or Target or any of those things. The Blue Light mm-hmm. Special is something that younger generations might not know about, but it's something that transcends time and space, like time in America, that it's a time-honored tradition. And so, but also I really like Oreos, and don't take my Oreos away from me.
I diss so many of the things also, I love in my poetry.
Right. So Rogue Agent says, capitalism doesn't have to be bad, and then mentioned living in Cuba and like the differences between there and here. So thank you for sharing that perspective. I think it's important to note, though, that most like forms of economics have some sort of flaw to them. You know, they have positives and negatives. And I think when we
if you can't see poke the fun gap, in the system, what's the point of having right. the system?
Well, and if we see the gap widening between the ultra poor and the ultra rich, and the fact that there are people who have the means to make meaningful change, the fact that they don't want to do that, like that's like, I think that is indicatively a problem in the system. Like, that's just my opinion, though. You know, now there are certain aspects of it that I absolutely love, right? Because let's be honest, like, we all depend on it, right? But that's not to say that there aren't real meaningful issues that aren't worth discussing. Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time when we talk about different economic systems, we tend to focus on the extremes. I don't think there's anybody that would argue that pure capitalism is healthy, just like you wouldn't argue that pure communism is healthy, or whatever bastardized version they have in Cuba.
They're not
in the extremes, they're not healthy. But that's the way we like to, that's the way we like to talk mm-hmm. about them. They're both yeah. idealistic.
Right.
And I, yeah. to a dangerous extent, they're both idealistic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So are we ready for the next one?
It's your yes. turn, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So this poem, okay, I've read this poem before too. So I'm just going to do this one, because it really was one at the top of my list. So this poem is titled Cyberpunk Undead, and it is from my book Feats of Alchemy. So,
yay.
Okay. Now that I'm finally seeing, the cities flee at the way my alloys glint through the smog, because the half-lit neon signs of vacant clubs, wait, beneath the half-lit neon signs of vacant clubs, defunct shops, and cracked clubs. Some thought me a monster and flocked to curbsides to preach the end times, while others gazed in pity from their balconies at the mangled contraption in their streets, half-welded. I've lost track of the years, trudging through each city, across each desert plain, and vast, depleted forests. I've seen ages pass into oblivion, the tide flow of division. Yet here I am, a figment of their industrial industrial hell, outliving their flasks of holy water, now evaporated, their smoke choking factories now crumbling. I've survived the naysayers, the fearmongers, the religious dread, and now I've accepted that this involuntary reanimation into a cyberpunk undead. I didn't realize how much of a tongue tying poem that was. It's been a while. Thank you.
So, I don't remember that one. I think I have to go back to reading that series again, or that book again, because it's been a while since I read it.
Yeah, there's some dark poems in it. There's some dark pieces in it.
And I do remember this one because it's one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you.
I remember reading this the first time and thinking about Frankenstein, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're created, like we're like whatever it is put us together. And then all of a sudden we're here, we're alive or whatever that is. And we're kind of like lost in this world and all of these ugly things. Like, oh, we fought so hard to create us and put us here. But then, like, you take a look at where we are and there's this ugliness all around us, all of these things that you talked about in the poem. And yeah, we might outlive it because, you know, we're talking about on a surface level, a cyberpunk, you know, but at the same time, like, yeah, I beat the system. I survived. I got through all that. Oh, but then I'm still alone.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of that. Like, okay, yeah, I'm alive, but what does it mean if like everything else is gone? And, it speaks a lot to loneliness, I think, this poem, which Frankenstein does too. But I just, I absolutely love this poem. I might have even taught this poem. I can't remember.
Oh.
I might have.
Thank you. Well, so, obviously, like, we all know that I created a character for this book specifically because I do like fiction writing and I don't get to do it. So I was just like, I'm going to create a fictional character for this. And I just imagine like this person living in the distant future, like being kind of like a cyborg, right? But like, what would that distant future be like? Well, with the trajectory that we're on, like obviously there wouldn't be much left. Like if we consider like the significance of climate change and like the depletion of resources and things like that. And I think that we lose sight of that with the small things that societally we seem to cling to, if that makes sense. And if anybody reads that book, they'll see the entrails of that throughout like a lot of the different pieces, because I just think that we tend to underestimate the gravity of a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, cool. Round three, one more poem.
Well, we're coming towards the end. We're at 53 minutes. So I'm going to skip my time because I want to make sure that Jared gets another poem in. So I think that's fair.
Yeah. So like, okay, I'll skip mine too. Jared, you read one more poem and then we'll have like a discussion question to finish us off.
Okay. Well, I've been dark. I'm going to go sweet this time. All right. This is the last poem in the book. It's called Aging Hero's Peace of Mind. When you were born, when you took your first breath, open your eyes to gaze at the world. For the very first time, you saw your mother, and then you saw me, an average man, feeling as naked as you were, shaking, sweating, completely unprepared for the first time in my life, knowing that my existence was now far more complicated than waking up on time, grocery shopping, paying bills, and scheduling dates and vacations. No, looking into those baby blues that screamed, "I need you," woke me from 31 years of peaceful slumber, slapped me into reality. I was now a dad, and my baby needs a hero. sacrifice was the word. I said goodbye to video games, spontaneous drives, staying up way too late while binging television, and weekends at the bar to wind down after a long week at work. I traded in my guitar for a sword and shield so that I could be there for you whenever you needed me to protect you from the dark, the monster under the bed, so that you wouldn't be afraid to face an entire world of unknowns. No matter what challenges you faced as you navigated your first odysseys, my hand was yours to hold, and I swore to never let go. But one day, you did. You told me to lay my weapon down, that you were ready to pick it up, that you no longer wanted me to guide you on your journeys, that you'd kill your own boogeymen. I was more Don Quixote than Lancelot. You could see the dents and rust on my armor, that I was slowing down almost as quickly as you were speeding up, that your abilities would soon overtake mine, and the hardest part was that I knew it. You didn't need a hero anymore. Letting you go was terrifying. My worries never cease that I made mistakes along the way, that I didn't teach you enough, that I failed somehow to help you learn how to battle those dragons that you seem all too eager to slay. It's almost as frightening as accepting that there is nothing I can do to turn back time to when I could hold you in my arms, when you needed me to read you stories before bed, to teach you how to ride your bike, and before you decided to trust another to take care of your heart. But I trust that you know that even if my knees are a little weaker, that my hair is grayer, that I weigh a little more, and that I can't carry a spear as easily, my heart still beats, and until my dying breath, your old hero will always be here when you need me.
Oh. Wow. Wonderful. That was a really poignant poem.
Thank you.
The line, more of a Don Quixote than a Lancelot, like that was so good. But like,
it's very sweet. It's very sweet.
Yeah. Well, and it's about like very much legacy, right? And I think now more than ever, like societally speaking, like we're thinking about the world that we are leaving for the next generation. Like, what do we leave behind? Like how worthwhile will it be, and how meaningful will it be for them? Like, if they're able to exist in a world where they're able to be themselves and be who they're meant to be, right? That's what that poem spoke to me.
That's really cool.
A lot of people really downplay the relationship of fathers.
Yeah.
And I think that fathers really do play a role in a child's life, and that fathers, I think that it's great that you are so active as a parent, and that you write these odes to your children because they have something that shows just how much you care about them, and it's very touching, and it's very moving, and it's so nice to see just how much you care about your kids. Because it's very heartwarming.
Thank you. When I think of perfect examples of parents, you and Amanda are always at like the top of my list. Just saying.
Thank you.
Just saying.
You know, we're not perfect. We make plenty of mistakes too, just like anybody else, but we always try to be there. And this is an experience that this poem is speaking to, that, you know, I'm not an empty nester. You know, my daughter is only 11, but just thinking ahead, you know, you start to see her. She's an 11-year-old now. And this was more about her and mine than my son, my youngest, because he's still very much the, oh, let's cuddle and hug and all these things. But, you know, she's growing up, and I see that, yeah. You know, and I'm starting to, like, I don't know, the dread of it is coming in. You question yourself, have I done enough? But And I think everybody has those. But in the end, I know both, especially my daughter, but my son too. They know who loves them. They know we love them. They know that they can always come to us, whether they're kids or adults or whatever. So
yeah, good stuff. So Jared, final question for you.
Yeah.
Where can people find your stuff? Do some plugs.
Okay. Well, all of my books are available on Amazon.com. All of them. And I also have personal copies that you can order directly through me. And honestly, both are fine because while I'll get more money per book on personal orders, when you order on Amazon, the more orders you get through there just boosts you in searches and, you know, it helps your numbers and all that thing. And then you end up more in like algorithms or however that works. So I know that, however, if you did want to order a book, it wouldn't matter which way you go. If you do want to order directly from me, you can email me at jaredmorningstar@gmail.com. It's just my first and last name combined. But it's @gmail.com, and I'll be happy to get back with you.
Awesome. And, of course, like you can find Ari's books and my books on Amazon as well. Check out our stuff, you know. Any parting words, Ari? Final words for the night?
Write poetry because it cures what ails you.
Yes. All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you, Jared, for joining us. We always appreciate you being on with us. And thank you for sharing your work with the world.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you both for having me. I always appreciate it.
Have a good night, everyone. Bye. Bye.